The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Got a big show today. Just because the Super Bowl is over, season is over, doesn't mean this show stops rolling. No, sir. Someone asked us that. Might have even been Brady Quinn who asked us that. Like, what are you going to do now that the season's over? We still go every day. He's like, really? Is that what you said?
I did say that. I guess I'll just jump in since you didn't do the proper protocol of introducing anyone. Not that. I was just saying you didn't introduce myself or Jonathan Jones, who's also on the podcast today. Jonathan,
right?
Well, good to be talking with you.
See, you get it. You did it right. You didn't do the thing that Wilson does where he talks for 3 minutes and is like, and yes, Breach is here. JJ, what's happening?
It's just a little disrespectful, but yeah, I'm here. I appreciate it, Brady. Happy to be on the pod with you, bro.
Unbelievable.
Look, we all just got done with the Super Bowl. We're just trying to get through this week. Leave me alone.
By the way, I did not ask that question about whether or not, like, what do you guys do? I think I might have posted. I think I asked if you guys were going to do XFL because I have to cover the XFL. I was like, oh, if we are, great, cool. We can keep this conversation rolling.
Oh, I thought your question was like, so are you just done until August? Or like, what's the deal? No, the show goes daily throughout the course of the year. I will be taking basically the month of June off, and we'll find people to fill in for me. You know, yada, yada, oysters, croquet, things
Jonathan,
of that nature.
Jonathan, you're going to be one of those people filling in for him in June?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to be taking off a lot of June and July, so probably not.
Prisco actually was the one that I think last year he kept asking me to do it with him because he's like, well, and Brinson's making me fill in for this show. He's like, I can't believe it. It's June, July. I need my beach time. I need my time with the Ray Baker, the sun. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, Pete. Yeah, like I'll try to help you out, buddy. We'll do a show together. Debo can attest this too, by the way. Those shows were like 28 minutes. They were the shortest episodes.
Today's show, we are going to talk about the future of the Chiefs and the 49ers. Could the Chiefs be starting a dynasty? Stay tuned to find out. We will also be doing a little, Debo is a busy beaver down at the Super Bowl. He went and did the Bud Light red carpet / blue carpet ahead of the Guns N' Roses show. I gotta tell you, saw Guns N' Roses at the Bud Light Hotel. Incredible! Or the Bud Light Arena, whatever it was, American Airlines Arena. Fun fact, myself and Eric Kay, our podcast star, were told by an old lady behind us to stop talking and sit down during a Guns N' Roses concert.
Oh, right. So we're supposed to jump in there and like be outraged by that?
I'm like, okay, sure.
I just don't feel like I wouldn't, if it was like a, I feel like you should be able to stand up at any concert you want to stand up for. Guns N' Roses specifically is a very weird one to be like, excuse, like she was like, you need to stop moving. We can't see. And then she pointed at like her kids and I was like, what do you want? And then after she like yelled at us from it, and then she was like, these aren't even your seats. I like pulled out my ticket stub. I pulled out my flashlight, my phone. I pointed at the seat. I was like, what are you talking about, lady? This is like, you're nuts. And then her husband leans in, to EK and he goes, imagine having to deal with that every day of your life. You're like, hey, this is weird. But yeah, it was a killer concert / man, that dude hadn't lost a step. He shreds. If you can get a chance to go see GNR on their upcoming tour, I'd highly recommend it. And so stay tuned for that at the back end for some Bud Light interviews via Debo, who
who did really just a breakout week for Debo. We mentioned that already, but impressive.
Wait, why didn't you invite anyone else, Debo?
To what?
To the red carpet deal. I'm sure we could have gotten in the event.
Credential only.
No chance. We definitely could have gotten that thing.
Probably.
Which concert was it?
I mean, I enjoyed Meek Mill and DaBaby and DJ Khaled and Friends.
This is the problem with our group is no one communicates. Like we 100% could have gotten more people in that thing and not just worked the red carpet, but no one communicates. There you go.
I would have loved to have gone. So appreciate that. DaBaby
was sitting in the 100 level seats, one row or two rows behind Odell Beckham and Deshaun Watson watching Meek Mill in concert.
Deshaun Jackson. I don't want to throw Deshaun Watson under the bus.
My apologies. Whatever. Deshaun Jackson. I will say, too, though, that Debo texted me. He was like, I'm in Guns N' Roses now. Apparently, the red carpet was, there was rainy weather. It wasn't exactly chock full on Friday night. I believe you said the top celebrity you talked to was Kyle Brandt.
I missed Snoop Dogg, so Kyle Brandt ended up being the top celeb.
Dude, Kyle's a stud.
Kyle's awesome.
Kyle's an absolute stud. He's one of the funniest creative people. He's who I love to watch on TV because he's always bringing something. I love Kyle. He's awesome.
No, Kyle's the best. He's been a guest on this podcast. I just think it's hilarious that Diva's and Kyle's in full Miami gear. You know, he loves Guns N' Roses and, then that's the interview you got. So maybe is Kyle going to be on the back end here?
Yes. You will hear from Kyle.
What did you ask him? What did you ask Kyle Brandt about?
Just about the Eagles. Strictly 10 minutes about the Eagles.
Is he even a Philly guy?
I don't think he grew up there, but he's a big fan. We talked Philip Rivers as a little tease. We talked Philip Rivers. We talked Devontae Parker versus Sammy Watkins. So that you have to look forward to.
Wow,
you talked about Devontae and Sammy with Kyle.
Just some inside pick six jokes.
Okay, yeah. All right, cool. I haven't heard this. I can't wait to listen to it. Hey, shout out to my mom for listening to our Super Bowl recap. She texted me and said it was a really good podcast. So that's exciting. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes, who's about to be a $400 millionaire. Mahomes said after the Super Bowl, that's stuff that's handled with other people as it relates to his contract. Obviously, I want to be in Kansas City for a long time. I understand that. And also want to win a lot of football games here. For me, it's kind of letting that stuff handle itself. I don't even need to read this. Patrick Mahomes just won the Super Bowl. He was Super Bowl MVP. He was MVP in his first year as a starter. He threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 passing yards. What if you were Brady, if you were Patrick Mahomes and you put up those numbers and you had his resume through 3 years in the league, two as a starter, what would you just sort of ride out? Would you be like, hey, listen, I want my $400 million and $40 million a year now? Would you kind of ride it out and try to max out your value on the open market? I'd be curious how you would handle it as a quarterback with his resume.
Well, first off, let's not get too outrageous here. $400 million, I mean, that's a bit over the top. Now, I think what he needs to look at or ask himself is, does he want to do something that would be revolutionary from a player standpoint and for quarterbacks and players moving forward? Or does he just care about himself and this window of opportunity with this team? That's the first thing he has to ask himself. Because if he doesn't care about trying to do, I don't want to say what Kirk Cousins did, but along those lines where you press as far as you can to get to free agency and you see if you can really truly maximize your value, even though there's no chance Kansas City is ever going to let this guy get to free agency. The longer you push and keep turning down deals, the longer you're their quarterback, the higher the price tag goes up, unless you have some sort of catastrophic injury, which in this case, I'm sure he's insured. I'm sure he's got a policy for loss of value if that were to, take place. So you have to answer that question first. And then the math is really going to lead you to somewhere around the ballpark of $40 million average annual salary per year, maybe even more, maybe more like 42. And that's going to encompass the, let's just say what, 28, 29 million he's owed the next 2 years. And then 2 years of consecutive franchise tags. And then you put a premium on top of that for basically getting his services at this point in time. So if I had to ballpark, look at what I would ask for that I think is not unreasonable, still allows the team to build around me and, allows me to be a Kansas City Chief and get a huge payday right away, I would look for $120 million total guaranteed at signing. I would look for a 6 or 7 year deal, right? So really a 5 year extension, I think is what I want to look at because that allows the team to then prorate it over the period of time. And so they don't have to give me that huge lump sum right away. I mean, they will, but not necessarily for accounting purposes. So that still does allow them to work in and factor in things for the future. And I do that deal now instead of waiting for another year. And so that way they understand exactly what they're working with moving forward, and I'm still in the prime of my career. That's probably how I would go about looking at it. I think that contract, if you look at the monies and everything that's going to be owed, you're probably looking at somewhere north of like total value when it's all said and done for an additional 5 years. I hope this doesn't sound crazy, but now you're talking about somewhere around $200 million north of that. So that's where I foresee this going. I think that's honestly something I'd sign, and it would be a fair offer, unless I want to set a precedent. And I don't necessarily think he's going to want to be, or he's going to be able to turn down how much money they're going to throw on him right now.
Does this deal get done this offseason, JJ?
It should get done this offseason. You know, Lamar Hunt was obviously saying, yeah, 12 to 15 months. The price is just going to keep going up, right? And you don't, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you obviously don't wish or hope for a catastrophic injury at any point. But, like, that's the only thing that you would say, okay, we're not going to pay you. Like, you need to signal to everyone around that this is your guy, that what he has done the last 2 years is enough to get him paid. I will say this, like, you know, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, because I understand what Brady is saying from a team perspective and also from a teammate perspective, certainly moving that money around for cap purposes, but also you want a number of bites at the apple if you are Patrick Mahomes at 24 years old, where you may not want to be locked into that deal through your age 31 season, especially with this new CBA coming up, especially how yes. If you continue to change the game the way that he is, like, you know, could you, and I know there was reportedly an attempt by Aaron Rodgers and his representation to tie his annual salary to a percentage of the salary cap. Like, as we get a new CBA, as agents and players get more creative, I would want to maintain that flexibility. And so, Brady, I'm right there with you that it may sound crazy that it's 5 years, $200 million, but I think that ultimately that's what's going to be fair, and that's going to be $4 or $5 million average per year more than anyone else is making at the top of the food chain. But, like, that's what it has to be. And if I'm Patrick Mahomes, again, I want to get back and get another bite at that big free agency apple really before I turn 30.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of this new CBA. Like, I can't imagine a situation, not with the way that, you know, with the legalization of sports gambling and the influx of the gambling money. Now, maybe it flatlines a little bit out of the gate. We saw that in 2011. The cap didn't spike immediately. It was sort of flat at first. People were criticizing union, yada, yada, yada. Then it took off like crazy in the last 5 years of the CBA. So, like, you wonder, is there – and this is something that this is impossible to know without working with the PA and, you know, them talking to the NFL. Like, is there a benefit to waiting until the new CBA happens to signing a new contract? Like, if the cap spikes like crazy, can you go in there and ask for $45 million? Or do you wait and, like, if he signs for $42 million this offseason, or even $40 million this offseason, does Dak top him? Or is this like a Calvin Johnson situation where he's got to slide up right underneath him?
It's a great question. I mean, I would look at it this way. I mean, guys are, and players have always talked about, and there's even been some conversation about agents doing what Jonathan had talked about, really tying the compensation to a percentage of the salary cap moving forward. And look, that's not necessarily the worst idea. The problem is there's so many variables, and the teams don't want to set that precedent, because once one player does it, then other players are going to want to try to do that. So I think it's one of the reasons why they've avoided it really in the past. And I don't think they're going to, you know, subscribe to that in the future with as much money as they're going to be making. I mean, look, I think high-end quarterbacks typically get paid somewhere around, 13-15% of the salary cap. If that number goes up astronomically, you know, I'm not necessarily sure the percentage is going to change, even though the dollars are going to change. My only thought to, like, moving forward with us looking at, like, the next guy up being the guy that sets the market for quarterback positions, I think it's you know, players are going to have a hard time making that case just because I think of what Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to do. Like, you're not going to be able to make a statistical argument. You're not going to be able to make an argument in regards to, like, what that player has accomplished in comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Because how many guys in the first, you know, 2 years starting have won the NFL MVP and won a Super Bowl and been the Super Bowl MVP?
Kurt Warner's the only other one.
Right. But, like, at a completely different point in time of his career, and he wasn't a first round draft pick. one of the traded up here, right?
Exactly. Like the only guy to go to a Super Bowl and to win MVP in his first 3 years was Marino.
Right.
So like, it's a very, very short list.
It's a short list, and you're at a time now where, you know, who are you, and he's got that Marino type talent and quality. So there's just few guys that can even compare. So I have no idea how an agent's going to try to sell that. So maybe we get more players who make it to free agency. Or maybe we get more players who end up playing more under multiple years in the franchise tag because they can't come to an agreement on this sort of thing.
And that's like with Kirk Cousins, for example, like he got all that guaranteed money, even though teams didn't want to set that precedent because, of course, the minute he had the Minnesota Vikings where he wanted them. With the Kansas City Chiefs, Brady, I think you're hitting the nail on the head, is that like Dak Prescott, who is a very fine quarterback, can ask for more money than Patrick Mahomes, and the Dallas Cowboys can point to him and be like, yeah, but you're not Patrick Mahomes. And like that's how these negotiations go. And like it's not arbitration in baseball, but like you can be real with those players and just say, listen, Mahomes got that because he did what literally no one else in the 100-year league history of this league has ever done. So that's the reason that his contract is different than yours. And life isn't fair. Oh, well. And so that's why I think that it could be done. I don't know if necessarily you need a whole group of players, you know, an elite group of five or so players, or if Patrick Mahomes has done enough to say, you know what, there's been all this talk about tying it to a percentage of the salary cap. If there's someone who is worthy of doing it, it is a 24-year-old who, like, the worst thing that ever happened was his kneecap went out of place one time, but he felt ready enough to go back in the game. Even though, you know, he probably shouldn't have. Like, that's the worst injury thing that we could really point to with this guy. Meanwhile, you know, had that not happened and he sat out, he possibly could have siphoned off a couple of MVP votes from Lamar Jackson this year. Like, you know, he wasn't in the running this year, but really when you look at what he did when he came back, he was playing at an MVP level.
Right, that's a great point. Yeah, one thing, real quick thing, just because I keep thinking about, like, why – you know, you would be opposed to signing him to a deal that ties it to outside of setting the precedent. And we all should know by now how delicate that is within NFL owners and organizations not wanting to do something where every other owner and organization looks at him and go, you dumbass, why did you sign him to that deal? Cause now other teams, other players are asking us to do the same for their clients or for, you know, those players are making those requests. So besides that, there's also this idea that, you know, usually players, and I mentioned this because it is real, someone in his position is going to have an insurance policy, right? He's already being paid, but he's going to take out a policy that's going to basically hand him an amount of money if there's an injury that does lead to a loss of value and if they can prove that, right? In other sports leagues, especially with the ones that have guaranteed contracts or fully guaranteed contracts, the teams take out the insurance policies. And I do wonder if maybe it's going to be Patrick Mahomes and this sort of deal. And look, maybe the Minnesota Vikings did that with Kirk Cousins. I have no idea. But I do wonder if we'll ever get to a point where these deals get so big, these deals start happening where the team feels the pressure to say, yeah, maybe we cover or we hedge and we take out an insurance policy if he indeed is injured or there's some catastrophic event like what happened with Alex Smith. So now, you know, we're not necessarily losing all of that money to a player that's not going to be able to come back and either be the same player or be able to ever play again.
Let me ask you this. Is there any chance, because I do think it's an interesting, like I was sort of running through the pros and the cons of it in my head. Like, I've said this, I keep using this analogy and I've used it on HQ and I've used it on the podcast and I'm going to beat it into the ground because I really think it's a possibility. But Phil Mickelson was the best golfer to never win a major for a very long time. He won his first major and then he rattled off a couple of majors. Now it's not nearly the same thing because you're talking about one guy playing a sport, in a field of like, you know, 70 after you get to the weekend cut versus, you know, 32 NFL teams battling it down to win a Super Bowl. But I do feel like Andy Reid, because of Patrick Mahomes' age, because of what they've got in terms of that core in place, that the Chiefs could rip off a couple of, you know, Super Bowl runs. Conversely, Aaron Rodgers won at the Super Bowl in his third year as a starter and hasn't been back. So I'm curious what you guys think. JJ, you can start with you. But do you think there's a chance that a dynasty, as Travis Kelce pointed out, could be in the works here in Kansas City? And, you know, feel free to weave in the notion that I don't think this will happen, but, like, would Patrick Mahomes take less a la Tom Brady to help that, to help facilitate the dynasty?
Yeah, well, he better not take less. He better get what's coming to him. And that's also like he's going to be he already is a national face. There's no doubt. But like the money in Kansas City just truthfully is not the same sort of money that it would be in any of those major markets. While it still is plenty of money and he is on that echelon. So that's number one. Like I don't necessarily believe in a hometown discount. And this team is going to have to make some difficult decisions and it's going to be a lot tougher decisions than just, hey, we're going to cut Sammy Watkins and get $14 million in salary cap space. Like, and so, it's really hard for me to see dynasty with this team. Just because of what the AFC with the quarterbacks, with the Deshaun Watson, if Bill O'Brien will just cede some control. If Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh are still going to be tied at the hip, like again, and they just ran into a team, like I would have loved, wouldn't we all have loved to see Baltimore versus Kansas City? And that would have been obviously in Baltimore. And so that could have changed things. Baltimore just ran into the team that they could not run into. And then also Tom Brady. The two teams that he's linked to outside of New England are in the AFC West. They would be playing Patrick Mahomes twice a year for the next 2 to 3 years, however long Tom Brady wants to play. That's the Chargers and the Raiders, of course. And so now we're talking about, okay, if that happens, I think that that team then shoots up to like, hey, well, that they're going to split those with the Chiefs. Or maybe the Chiefs, it becomes like San Francisco and Seattle this year, where in week 17, they're fighting to see who has the first round bye and who is the first wild card. Like, all of these things can happen that I think we can't just think, okay, Kansas City was good. They have eight guys who are making $10-plus million next year. They should be good again next year, and they can get back to this spot pretty easily.
Yeah, way more difficult when you think about it. Hey, I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but that's kind of what we do on the Pick Six podcast. So
this is it's not kind of what we do. It's our thing.
It is our thing. Tom Brady to Las Vegas. I just, for the life of me, I can't wrap my head around it, and for this reason. At 42, he's been in one system, meaning one language, his entire career since he got into the league. There's no chance John Gruden's going to transition to that offense, right, from his West Coast offense. Like, he loves it too much. I think he loves play calling and being a part of it and all that stuff too much. Well, I just can't see him transitioning. I don't think Tom Brady at 42 is going to want to learn a new language and a new offense. I could be wrong. But literally, it would be like trying to go out there and play in Spanish after playing in English your entire career. It would be an adjustment, to say the least. So I can't foresee that happening. Unless maybe, like I said, Gruden says, you know what? We're going to come in, we're going to run your offense, and it's going to be, you know, different than the verbiage that, you know, we use, and we're going to make everyone else adjust to, for you, Tom. Because look, that's what the selling point was for John Fox and the Denver Broncos when they were able to get Peyton Manning. They let him run his own offense. Now, the biggest difference between Peyton and Tom Brady is when Tom Brady's in New England, it's Charlie Weiss calling the plays. It's Bill O'Brien calling the plays. It's Josh McDaniels twice now calling plays. Those
John
guys,
Fox doesn't even like offense.
John Fox used to come down to the sideline and used to say to us when I was in Denver, hey, what's that one where he got him, where he kind of boots out and then throws a deep? That one. Yeah, that play. All right. That play, why don't we call that? And, you know, so – we had to remind him sometimes to call timeouts. True story. But in all seriousness, if you think about where Tom Brady's been and what has been asked of him, it's not like he couldn't probably call the game if he wanted to, because he's played for so long and he's mastered that offense. But there also is something freeing about not having to constantly be thinking about your next call while you're still trying to play quarterback in the NFL. And that's something that, you know, again, I don't know if he was to run his own offense, if they're just going to expect him to be able to do that. You know, that's something that he's got the ability to have there in New England. So I can't wrap my head around him leaving there. Maybe the Chargers because of the roster, but I see him coming back to New England and probably getting somewhere around 60 mil fully guaranteed for 2 years, or maybe they throw in a third year to make the number look bigger and he ends up retiring after a couple years.
Well, the other thing too is like, you know, I can see the LA construct, the idea that, you know, he's going to want to shop around, that he can, you know, that he could build his TB12 brand out on the West Coast, and that, you know, Anthony Lynn will run the ball and let Tom Brady throw when he needs to. But like, you really think you're going to go to the Chargers and just win a Super Bowl with the Chargers? Like, nobody stays healthy out there. They're the opposite. Like, are you going to use the TB12 brand?
This is you being upset that Philip Rivers may not be back and he did not win a Super Bowl with the Chargers. This is you being upset for your NC State buddy.
That's exactly what this is.
It's at least like 65% of that. Yeah, sure. No, but I mean, like the Chargers are poorly run and they make tons of mistakes, et cetera.
But Will, here's the reason why. What's the news that we just saw the other day about the Chargers? Anthony Lynn now has multiple years on his contract with the extension. Like, first of all, black coaches don't get that. coming off a losing season. So what the reason that that's out there is to show any potential impending free agents, certainly very good historic quarterbacks, that, hey, this franchise has stability moving forward.
You want to come win 8 games in LA? Come on out. Look, I just don't think the Brady would make it interesting for the Chiefs in their dynasty. I do think that they're at least set up to make, like, see, that's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, how many times did they go to the championship game and just they fell short? They had heartbreak. Like, it can, you know, like, you look at even the Patriots. I mean, they made it to so many Super Bowls, but they're also like, you know, like all these games, I mean, they're one or two plays away from, you know, Tom Brady's like 0-6, you know, 0-6 in the Super Bowls. And how would that change the legacy? And they're also like two plays away from him being 9-0, whatever it is. You get my point. Like, you change one or two plays here and there and it alters how we view everything in the course of like football history. So I think it's possible the Chiefs build a dynasty. I do think they have a good core in place. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu's under contract. You know, they signed Frank Clark. They have Mitchell Schwartz, who was outstanding in the playoffs and really in general. They have Tyreek Hill signed. They have Travis Kelce signed, I believe. There are some free agents to worry about, though. Chris Jones is going to be a free agent. It's a big name. Kittle Fuller played well in the playoffs. Rashad Breeland, I think, has had a pretty good run in Kansas City. What do you think, Brady, they're going to try and do here in terms of these free agents? Jones, to me, is an obvious candidate for the tag.
Right. He's a candidate for the tag. And then you really have to address, like, the cornerback position, right? If I'm not mistaken, Rashad Breeland's a free agent. Unrestricted free agent. Kendall Fuller's an unrestricted free agent. You can go on down the line. Mo Claiborne, who's on the roster. I mean, he is as well. You know, we talk about edge rushers, Suggs. Now, granted, he's 37 years old at this point. So, you know, maybe you can get him back or, you know, maybe he wants to retire. Who knows what's going on in his mind? You know, I'll say this much. There's not really cornerstone pieces that they have to worry about so much. There are a lot of complementary pieces though, and ones that, in my opinion, I think matter. Whether it's a veteran guy like a Suggs that you'd like to maybe look at trying to bring back, depending on how much. Obviously the cornerback position, it's going to take a complete overhaul. And I think if we go back and look at the season and we look at how long it took for that secondary and that defense to really get on the same page with Steve Spagnuolo until what, week 10? That would be concerning for me, is having to start over with a lot of new faces there in the secondary, which really is the backbone of your defense when you do blitz a lot and you do run a great variety of schemes. So, you know, Ogball's another player that's going to be a free agent. You worry about that. And then look, like some other things, like this is a team that I know when you look at down the stretch, how they played, didn't run the football, weren't as balanced. And we just say, well, that's okay. Cause you know, they got Patrick Mahomes. They have always speedy wide receivers. Like, LeSean McCoy is a guy who's a restricted free agent that, look, you need more depth at the backfield. You might need some more impactful players to help out with Damian Williams. Anthony Sherman, their fullback, he's going to be a free agent. You know, you're going to have to eventually look at replacing him. I thought Mike Pennell, or Pennell did a heck of a job in the interior of that defense. And he's another guy that, again, not a cornerstone, but he sure as heck showed up at times, and so did DeMarcus Robinson. So to the points that you guys are kind of talking about, it's like, it's not easy to get back to it. Well, hell no, it's not. And the one thing and the last thing I'll just say quickly is we tend to sometimes underestimate like what makes a good team, a great team, a team that wins a Super Bowl. Like, and it's no different than like, I always kind of just compare it to food, right? Like there's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that sometimes is what makes the difference in the dish. And when you don't have those like ingredients, like it's good, but it's just not the same, or it's not able to overcome, for example, you know, double digit deficits in three straight playoff games, including the Super Bowl, you know, like those complementary pieces that help you get wins here or there, or move the sticks here or there, or get negative plays. Sometimes that's the difference in that team chemistry and what makes you a Super Bowl caliber winning team compared to a team that, you know, fizzles out in the playoffs or loses in the championship game.
I mean, even Sammy Watkins, like, do they win the title game without Sammy Watkins? Like, in the way, what he did against Richard Sherman? I mean, maybe not. And they're probably going to let him go this offseason because they can save $14 million in cap space.
And so you have Sammy Watkins. And so, okay, you'll let him go. Again, there are 8 guys, including Sammy Watkins, that next year will make $10 million plus. Then you tag Frank Clark, and then you pay Patrick
Mahomes.
Chris
Jones.
Chris Jones. Fine. Chris Jones. So at that point, you have 9 guys making $10 million plus. I understand that it seems obvious that Chris Jones is a tag candidate, but what I'm concerned about is you tag Chris Jones, you pay Patrick Mahomes, and you do the funny math to make sure that he doesn't take up too much of the cap in year 1 of his contract. But like, where's the money to get those other essential pieces that you need, like the Bashaud Breelands, like the Kendall Fullers of the world, to have on your team to make sure you can repeat?
You're right. And look, part of the problem, too, is that, again, with Patrick Mahomes, you have to be very, very careful about how you structure this contract, because you can't – like you're it's going to be going into a new CBA when you're finally dealing with the ramifications of the second and third and fourth year of this deal, or third and fourth year, whatever it ends up being. And, like, if you backload it incorrectly, you could end up hosing yourself, and you just don't have any idea what it's going to be like, because the CBA will be completely different.
You're right, but I also think that's – it's a safe bet it's going to go up. I mean, the league's been really, sure, really healthy. It goes up, what, about $10 million per year on average? And that's
and it's going to go up.
Right.
When the broadcast rights also, you could expect, like we have seen from other leagues, a huge spike once, right, those contracts are up in a year or two.
Right.
Well.
So that's going to go up. The gambling revenue could be a game changer as far as how much it's going to go up. And, you know, you got to think sponsorships. Like, I, this sounds funny, but, I mean, the NFL has softened up so much to the gambling world.
Yep.
And all the revenue that comes along with that, you don't think there's not going to be another cash cow once marijuana is legalized and that being potentially a sponsor in some capacity? Again, that's not that big, but it's just one of many other worlds that the NFL hasn't really tapped into, because it's not legal federally, but the players are sure as hell pushing for in the next CBA to not necessarily test for it, so they can use it as, you know, a pain medication of sorts. And so there's like all these things that I think are going to continue to keep pushing that number higher and higher and higher, where I think they'll be comfortable with it. The only thing is you have to be really smart about what those, you know, back end projections are. You know, I really do think you got to come up with a number that makes him sign the deal now, as opposed to pushing it off for another year, and,
sure,
and figure out like what that number is going to be. And then you got to figure out, okay, like what are the back end numbers? Cause here's what I know. You could sign into a 6-year extension, 7-year extension, whatever it is, or excuse, 6 or 7 year deal, which ends up being really, you know, a 4 to 5 year extension. They're going to redo that deal. Like the this deal he does, like we would say, oh, he'll do another deal. That deal is going to be restructured probably in 4 years, and they'll probably redo it again, and because he'll want more money, or the salary cap, they'll have a better idea of where it's going to be at for cap planning purposes, etc. When you're Patrick Mahomes, when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you are the bank to the team. They come refinance with you. So that's what's going to happen once this deal gets signed. And again, I'll be doing everything I could if I was the Chiefs to try to convince them to sign it now and not wait.
Okay. Well, quick question. One word answer from each of you. CBS Sports put a poll up. How many Super Bowl rings will Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid end up with? Or how many Super Bowl rings will Patrick Mahomes end up with at the end of his career? 1, 2, 3, or 4+. JJ.
One word answer. Patrick Mahomes. You're saying not with Andy Reid, just Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but you can say with Andy Reid if you want. Whatever. But how many rings did Reid and Mahomes get with the Chiefs?
Well, Reid and Mahomes together with the Chiefs, 2.
Okay.
I was actually going to say the same thing. I think he ends up getting 2. I think 3. For some reason, I wanted to say 3. I just think it's so much harder than people realize. And it's not like there's not a lot, you know, he's not going to have a lot of competition too. Like we act like, things didn't work out, you know, I think Jonathan, you might've said earlier, like they would have been playing in Baltimore, you know, versus the Ravens. Who knows if they would have even got to the Super Bowl had Baltimore not lost and kind of laid an egg in the divisional round. So there's always an element of luck that plays a part in championship teams, as good as Patrick Mahomes played in the final eight minutes. But I think 2 is probably realistic.
We could be, I mean, look, if it was 20-10 with 7 minutes left, we could be talking about Patrick Marino right now for all we know. Let's take a quick break when we come back, and we will break down the 49ers future.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for
real. All right, so the 49ers. Ooh, man. It's such a weird situation, Brady, because it felt like for three quarters that they had sort of had found their footing. Jimmy G was playing really well on the biggest possible stage. He was having an awesome game. They leaned on him knowing the Chiefs would sell out to stop the run, I felt like. Jimmy G was passing for a bunch of first downs. And now here we are. We're recording this on Tuesday in the afternoon. We're roughly, you know, we're less than 48 hours removed from the Super Bowl. And the question is, will the 49ers move on from Jimmy Garoppolo this offseason? If you look, you know, you can go back and look at when he signed his contract. This was the date when it was like, you know, there's an out here if they want to get out. They saved $22.4 million in cap space, signed a five-year, $138 million deal back in February 2018. He's already 28, but only has 26 career starts. Do you think there's any fire to this smoke?
As far as what, Garoppolo?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any reservations, man. I thought, you know, he really played a good, you know, better three quarters than Mahomes did. And unfortunately, sure, we're probably talking about them hoisting up a Super Bowl or the Lombardi if their defense would have did their job. You know, I mean, for whatever reason, like, we always tend to think that, like, just because Patrick Mahomes had a great fourth quarter, like, he was the only thing that mattered. I mean, Kansas City had to get stops. Kansas City had to get off the field. And, you know, they showed up defensively, too, in the final moments of that game. It works hand in hand, in my opinion. So I don't have any reservations about him as far as being a franchise guy. I just think most quarterbacks pale in comparison to Jimmy Garoppolo or to Patrick Mahomes. And so if we're using that as the standard of what a franchise guy is, okay, show me who's even close. Aaron Rodgers? I mean, is that basically it? Like, as far as talent wise, what we're talking about. So, for that reason, like, you know, he's on somewhat, I would say, of an economical deal when you look at the price tag of what, for example, a Jared Goff signed. Like, is Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo that different? I think you can make a statistical argument for what Garoppolo did this year and what he's done, and how he's played over the course of his career, as being, you know, just as good as Goff, even though, again, Goff is younger and maybe has still some more upside, but still, he's, you know, he's a quarterback that I think is a franchise quarterback. They just need to help continuing to give him some help out around him. And that's the biggest thing is this is another team that has a bunch of unrestricted free agents that are not, you know, necessarily cornerstone guys, but are guys that are no doubt complementary pieces. And they're going to have to address this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, so you think there's no chance they move on from Jimmy G?
No. I mean, who are they moving on to?
Yeah, and that's the exact thing, Brady, is that who are they moving on to? There's going to be so much quarterback movement. There's going to be so much quarterback movement, but honestly, like, subtract Tom Brady. Like, the only guy that I could see is, like, a Teddy Bridgewater, and I don't know how much of an upgrade that is over Jimmy G. Like, so Garoppolo – nah, it's New Orleans or nothing for him, right?
I agree.
And so with Garoppolo, you know, in the fourth quarter, 3 of 11, 36 yards, an interception, and a sack. Like, that was his fourth quarter. And I do not at all believe that Jimmy Garoppolo really is destined for Canton. Even if his trajectory changes, it's difficult for me to see that sort of greatness in Garoppolo. But I don't think that he's some tomato can. Like, I do think that he is an above-average quarterback who is limited, and those limitations are highlighted, Brady, as you say, when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. But all of those things said, like, you're
it's
not.
It's like me and Ron Jeremy at a swingers party, right? I mean, it's like, it's not gonna work out well. I'm just saying.
It is just like that, Brady.
To come with the, I mean, aren't you a little worried though with Jeremy? Like, at least there's like, you know, some risk of, you know.
No, I don't. What are you talking about here?
Might have some stuff. Yeah. Nah? All right.
I think they test for that stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to stay quiet on that one, Will.
Oh, we can go anywhere we want on this podcast. We're 30 minutes in. Debo will bleep it out if you had. Debo bleeped out my GD and Debo says, you know, go to free agency, please. So the 49ers actually do have a bunch of free agents. Emmanuel Sanders, Jimmy Ward, Eric Armstead highlight the group. Kyle Juszczyk has a club option. Matt Breida, Kendrick Bourne, two pretty important offensive players in the last couple of years, are both restricted free agents. $21 million in cap space. Do you think Emmanuel Sanders comes back to play again with Kyle Shanahan? Are there extensions to deal with in terms of Kittle and Buckner, other guys out there? I mean, it's when you look at it, you're like, all right, this team's got a lot of talent. Like, you know, they can keep moving. Kyle Shanahan's great, but it's like, like any NFL team in the modern era, there's a lot of moving parts here, JJ.
You know who I'd go for is AJ Green if I'm the San Francisco 49ers. I would absolutely make that splash with a wide receiver because, look, I think that the Niners are primed to, and honestly, I would say this if they had lost 48 hours ago. I think they're primed to take a step back next year, especially when you look at that division. And it really is solely because of that division where, you know, Seattle was that it was week 17 away from making the 49ers the wild card. You got the Los Angeles Rams who, if they would have just played better the first half of the year, I mean, this is always, I think, the next couple of years, this is going to be a division where, sorry, but, you know, one of these teams is just not going to be able to make it. The other thing, all these free agents that we're talking about, one guy that we're not talking about, Joe Staley. And, you know, he just had his heart ripped out for a second time in a Super Bowl. But, you know, I don't think that it is implausible that he says, you know what, I think I've had enough.
I mean, Emmanuel Sanders would be great to have back, but not for the number, right, of what he got paid this past year. So I think that's the tough part there. I loved the idea, Jonathan, of trying to get AJ Green, like a game changer like that. But I also think if you look at Debo Samuel, who may have been on pace to be the MVP at early points of the Super Bowl and the production he had this past year, you'll get Goodwin back, right? You know, once he comes back and he's healthy, looking at, you know, kind of the rest of the roster, like I kind of think to myself, maybe they want to look back into the draft. You know, they're not giving up on Dante Pettis, you know, see what they have there. But maybe they look back into a draft, which is, you know, really one of the more deeper drafts at the wide receiver spot. And maybe they can find more of those gems and they can do it more of an economical way and continue to keep building. Cause the other thing was Joe Staley. You talk about him, you know, they've got to figure out a replacement for him, right? He's up there in years. Eventually, they're going to have to find a left tackle. I mean, they've got some needs in this team they're going to have to, you know, address. And I think if you looked at the interior of that offensive line, Ben Garland, Mike Person, both those guys overachieved. That's going to be another group that they look at attacking either in free agency or for the draft to eventually build up. Like, this is a roster that I don't want to say is going to be overhauled big time, but there's some spots now when you kind of break down, like, who becomes a free agent and who they might want to move on from, like Jimmy Ward, for example. Jason Verrett never really, you know, worked out. The guy can't stay healthy. But there's some people that I think that, you know, that they're going to need to replace, and they're going to need to figure out how to replace those guys and not miss on some of these picks, right? Especially like Sheldon Day, for example, who I thought filled in and did a really good job for them. And these are more economical answers. Like, for the level of play they got from a Sheldon Day or – you know, who else would fall in this category? I mean, Eric Armstead for the way he played this past season, or a Ben Garland at center. When you look at how well they played for what they're being paid, it is hard to find those guys, who can play at a championship caliber or a Super Bowl caliber level. And so to find those complimentary pieces isn't going to be easy.
So do we think the 49ers are in trouble next year? Are they, where do you sort of slot them in the NFC West? In terms of, I mean, like the hierarchy. Cause I think they'll be maybe the favorite again, but I don't think they're the clear favorite. Seattle and Los Angeles. Yeah.
I'm gonna handicap all three of those, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers, basically the same.
Yeah.
But then also, as we're talking about retooling and whatnot, the Niners only have one draft pick in the first four rounds. They've really sold out on this championship window, which I totally understand. So, like, what do you do with that first round pick? Because that's the only capital that you have.
I mean, And look, that's sort of reminiscent of the Rams too, with all the trades for veteran players.
I would say you trade out of it, by the way. I would accumulate more picks. You might be able to trade back, get like a, you know, trade back in the second round. You know, maybe, maybe you get like a second and a fourth, depending on, you know, who trades up and who they're trading up for, right? Quarterbacks at the back end of the first round like that sometimes, you know, get a little bit more, but you wrap that into maybe a couple wide receivers that help out, or, you know, at that point, who knows? Maybe if there's still a tackle or someone that could help out. Although I think any of the tackles that are truly worthwhile guys that are going to be able to come in and play right away are probably gone by then. So, you know, typically I feel like when you don't have many picks, we usually see teams try to trade back and accumulate more to try to use, you know, try to get some of those players that are outside of the top maybe 32, but are still somewhere in the top 100.
Would you rather bet on the Chiefs to win the AFC plus 250 or the 49ers to win the NFC plus 400?
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
I agree wholeheartedly. All right. We're going to talk a little XFL and some more football news and let JJ go. We're not going to make you sit here and talk XFL. Plus, you have like something to do at 5 o'clock, but we're using the XFL thing as an excuse.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
See you, JJ.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Brady Quinn is covering the XFL, right? You are, right?
Yeah. 5 games. I get to cover for 5 games. It'll be interesting to see the rule changes that they're experimenting with.
I like this backwards hat look on
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
It's a little like college Brady Quinn. I kind of like it.
Right. Well, if only I could bring back those 3-bar hats that like no one seems to remember, but they were definitely the fad back in the day. I'm sure you had one.
This is a longer story that we won't get into, but I have a 3-bar hat I'll save for you.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I feel
we
like.
Made, so my friends and I ran a men's humor, you know, like a bro humor site for a little while back in the early days of the internet. And, we made 3-bar hats for them. So I'll send you one. You can.
That's dope. I'd love 3-bar hats. I was going to say, why aren't they out there anymore? Did someone have a trademark on it?
You would have the top would be in big letters, would be the team, the mascot.
Right. It'd be like for you guys, it'd be like Wolfpack.
And like if you had like a funky mascot, like wasn't there one, was there one that said banana slugs? Couldn't you find one that said like banana slugs on it?
Sure. Or the, like South Carolina just said Cox.
That's right. That was always the popular one.
That was a popular Cox one.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. Says for obvious reasons.
Cox on it.
Right. That's because that's the stadium where actually the program was filmed. For obvious reasons. That's why people like South Carolina.
Of course. Rainbow Warriors is a good one. I had a Hawaii one too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I was not supposed to work today. And then Mark D'Antonio stepped down at Michigan State. And literally during radio, they were knocking on the door while I was on radio saying like, hey, we need you on set right now to do a hit on Mark D'Antonio. And so.
Okay. Is your hair like that good where you can have a hat on backwards and immediately?
No, I had to run a little water through it. I had to literally throw on a button down and a jacket and everything. Fortunately, I had clothes here. But yeah, it ended up working out. So, went and did a hit and then I was like, all right, great. Now I can do the Pick Six podcast because, you know, they don't just spend a day on me doing one hit on Mark D'Antonio. But, no, I was actually glad because Debo asked me.
They also don't want to do, apparently, as I've been told.
Yeah, not just do a day for the Pick Six, right?
Yeah. Cause we were doing that for a while and then they were like, you're kind of burning through Brady's days. We're like, well, Brady and I like to talk. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
so when you put your hat on, do you go full slick back hair?
Oh yeah.
And
you
then
got to.
Put hat?
Yeah.
What's your,
yeah, cause then when you take it off, it doesn't look that bad. You don't have a hat head. If you just like let your hair, you know, first off, it looks stupid with a snapback anyway, but either way, your hair looks even worse when you take your hat off.
See, if I pull my hair all the way back and put my hat on, it goes into like, it like does like a weird, like pulled back spike thing that I can't correct from.
Right. But if you're wearing a hat, you're probably not really correcting your hair anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing the hat because I don't plan on correcting my hair and don't want to.
Like, here's the other thing is I walked in the office because no one wears a hat in this office, I don't think. I don't even, is that like a policy or a rule?
No.
I mean, it's maybe it's an unspoken
Jack
rule.
Jack wears one every day.
That is true. Jack does wear one. He's like the only one who does wear one, but he doesn't wear one every day because I don't even think he was wearing one yesterday. Anyway, the point is, does it look incredibly unprofessional to wear a hat in a business environment?
Not in a sports office, no. I think it's acceptable.
That's what
and
I was
it's
thinking.
Not like you're, But you're not coming in for like a meeting or like.
Yeah, no, nothing. I was just, I'm doing radio. And so everyone looked at me funny because I was in a shorts, a long sleeve shirt and a snapback. That's actually, I got from Bottle Rock. Have you ever heard of that? It's the concert that's out there, the concert festival out there in Napa.
No, no, it sounds
incredible. It's badass. It's really, really cool.
All right. Well, after we go to the Bahamas, we can plan a trip to Bottle Rock.
There you go.
Do you remember talking about the trip to the Bahamas?
I want to do it around March Madness, though.
That's fine with me. I can't. I was supposed to. Do you know what, this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one downside is that's like the height of free agency. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. And we just do our podcast from there. In fact, I'm sure there is a sports book. There is a sports book. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Roadcaster. Devo, give me that Roadcaster. Devo's like, no, I have to hold the Roadcaster at all times, even in the Bahamas. Okay, so you excited for the XFL?
I am. I'm excited because I do think the NFL needs a developmental league, and even though they're not partnered in any way, I think there's two things that you're seeing happen, at least in the first year. You're seeing the XFL kind of claim their own players and not really allow these guys just to be able to go and sign NFL contracts when you look at the language within them. And then also the rules. Like, they really are kind of a, I don't want to say a test market, but essentially that for some of the rules that you could see the NFL adopting later on. And maybe they end up not being so gimmicky. It's something that they actually implement, though. So from that perspective, I think it's going to be really neat to hear stories about guys who are just on the last leg and they're trying to figure out a way of how to make it to the league and how to, you know, accomplish their dream and their goal. And I think it's going to be really cool from that perspective.
Anybody we should watch other than Jalen McClendon?
Honestly, full disclosure.
Wait, save and clip that laugh. That was both. I enjoyed the joke and it was like a little condescending towards it.
No. I was thinking in the back of my head. I was like I'm curious to see what happens with Cardale Jones. He's the quarterback there in D.C. Yeah. One, I love him as just a person. I think he's such a good dude. He, you know, he's a good teammate from all accounts. And it's weird. It's like when you think about what he did at Ohio State, he jumped into a huge role where he had to go win a Big Ten championship and then two college football playoff games in its first year. It's not like you had anything to go off of or to prepare for this, but he did, man. Like, shotgun had, such a crazy christening to college football, where he's a part of a team that goes on to win a national championship. And then after that, it becomes like this battle between him and JT Barrett. And they're obviously two different types of players and even people. And it never really worked out where he ever got like a true kind of shot. And so he goes to the NFL, and it's not like he's really been able to get a true shot there either. And so I'm curious to see where he's at, one, in just his playing and his development. But also to see if like he can be one of those guys that makes a case for himself getting back to an NFL roster.
All right, I dig it. And the XFL starts this Saturday.
Yeah, it starts up this weekend.
Exciting, just like the AAF was. And I hope for Brady's sake it lasts longer.
Well, I can promise you this much. I think it's going to last for at least 2 years. And then I think, you know, maybe you reevaluate where you're at. But they are well funded. And I'm already looking at kind of how this whole thing is going to be. The one thing I can say at least about this is, fortunately, I still get paid regardless of whether it works or not. Like, it's not like the monies that I'm being paid are just specifically tied to being paid through the AAF. So,
right.
I've got that on my side.
And look, part of the AAF thing was they wanted to beat the XFL to market anyway. That's a whole other story for another day. The Jaguars are playing two back-to-back games in London. How would that make you feel as a player? How would it make you feel as a Jaguars fan?
Well, as a player, I'd start off by saying it's the smart way of doing it if you're going to play two. You know, why not get it out of the way, be over there, adjust to the time zone. You don't have to travel back and forth. It would make me think in the back of my head, though, like, okay, so when are we coming over here full time? And maybe we're having more of these 2, 3, 4 game home series, and then we're on the road for 3 or 4 weeks or however they end up scheduling that when there is a team in London, which there eventually will be a team in London. We're not playing all these games over there for no reason. But from a player standpoint, I think, look, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to be able to spend, you know, at least a couple weeks over there in London, right? A week preparing for the first and obviously the following week after. And it probably creates an advantage for you instead of just having to play over there, you know, one time a year where, yeah, you're familiar with it, but you might have some new pieces and all that. You know, now you're going to be the more adjusted team, and maybe that does play a factor or an advantage for them. So good for them, because I can tell you this much from having gone over there with the Broncos back in 2010. Those people are excited to see football. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of buzz around Jacksonville right now. So, there may not be a big home field advantage because it's more of an international and kind of divided crowd. They're just there to see a football game, but at least the stadium's full, man. At least they're not having to try to bait people into a hot tub or a pool or whatever it is up there in the suites there in Jacksonville. As a fan though, I would think the writing's on the wall. Like, I know it's only two games. You still got six left, but if this team isn't competitive next year, it's like most warm weather states, you know, the fans just go to the beach. And so I would think that, you know, maybe at some point they're getting the hint that this team is eventually just moving to London. So, you know, maybe they just stay at the beach. They don't really come back. Maybe that's the key. Maybe they need to bring the beach to the Jacksonville Stadium.
Ooh, no, instead of stands, you do it all beach.
All beach. Just all beachfront. Yeah, maybe that's what they need to go to next to see if it's going to work. It is kind of brilliant of Shad Khan, though, because I would imagine that, like, they generate a good amount of revenue over in London. And I don't know, maybe that's part of the model, too. Maybe it makes more sense to have them over there as opposed to, you know, in Jacksonville if the season's not going well.
The claim from the Khan family, as well as one Pete Prisco, who, you know, is a hawk for the Jaguars, is that it's they're timing it around a bunch of construction in downtown Jacksonville, which is fine, I guess, but like it's a 2-week period, so I'm not exactly sure why that would, you know, be a thing. And Shad Khan said, "We have an exceptional opportunity right in front of us for Jacksonville to meet its potential and be the city I imagined we'd become when I arrived here in 2011. I am optimistic and believe it will happen." To me, I kind of read between the lines. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you're that optimistic. And then Jags president Mark Lampling said, "For clubs like the Jaguars, we're entering an uncertain time. That uncertain time is related to three teams in the past were teams that were with us in the bottom of the league in terms of revenue. They've taken steps that we would not consider, but they've taken steps to fix their revenue by leaving Oakland, by leaving St. Louis, and by leaving San Diego. That has had an impact in terms of all the other teams that are where we are in terms of the league."
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. Do you think they're moving?
My mom's family is all from Jacksonville, so I try to be a little bit, I like to try to see the glass half full, but if I were, I think even the mildest skeptic would say that they're leaving, yes.
It's just a matter of time, right?
Yeah, eventually they're going to play four games over there and four games here, you know, like however it's going to be, like they play two of their away games in London. And there's just too much money internationally for the NFL not to do this. Like, if you follow the league at all, you know there's a clear impetus on international football. Right. And they want really badly to have a team over there, and the Jaguars are the most obvious team out there.
And you know what they have failed to realize? Like, the XFL obviously is popping up now, and it's great. I'm glad. I'm happy to be doing it. But they really should have kept NFL Europe. You know, I think that was like the grassroots campaigning for the NFL, that you're seeing it really come to fruition now with a lot of the fans who are there who are in their 30s and maybe even 40s and remember – the NFL in Europe, remember like that league, and then were first introduced to football then. And so it was so short-sighted that they got rid of that league, and they could have kept it in-house, and it would have helped the broadcast partners. It would have helped coaches, especially minority coaches, when you look about development and trying to get them into head coaching jobs, and would have helped fringe players too. So that to me was always so short-sighted, getting rid of that. I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that Roger Goodell made as commissioner of the NFL, or I guess I should say the owners in that respect, since they were paying out of their pocket for it, even though it's led to this appetite for the NFL over there. So
it's a good point. Like, I think if they could do it now, they would start it back over. Greg Olson, really quickly. Greg Olson was released by the Panthers. I said on WFNZ, "I told them all along that if they wanted me back, obviously I would have been back. The mutual parting might have been a little overblown. He has garnered interest in the Seahawks, Bills, and Redskins. He said he would be interested in the Bears as well. And apparently he has an offer from Fox to be a game analyst." And I would at least I know he's he loves Fox and he's all in on Fox, and that's great. Fox, you know, I'm sure they have other people on Fox who are good too. Don't know any. But Monday Night Football would have to at least consider him too, right? He's really good in the booth.
He's good in the booth. I don't know that they want to go with a first-time guy unless, you know, maybe it's a name like Drew Brees or someone like that. So I would be curious to see. But, look, I mean, he's still trying to search out to see if he wants to play. And, yeah. And I think that, you know, there's going to be teams out there that want him. Obviously, Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington Redskins, he's familiar. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, they're familiar. You could make the case both those teams would have needs for a tight end. So that makes sense. There's plenty of other teams, Will, that look for a guy who is going to do it right. He's going to be productive when he's healthy, and he's going to set the right example in that locker room and all that. I mean, tight ends are a rare breed when you showcase or demonstrate the ability to block still and still go out there and pass catch and everything else. Like, those guys don't grow on trees, and that's why you see a lot of tight ends who are able to extend their career because of that. You know, Anthony Fasano, who's a good buddy of mine, you know, he played, what, I think at least 11 years, maybe 12 years, because towards the end of his career, he wasn't catching as many footballs, but man, when you watch him block, you're going, where are we going to find this? Like, where can we find a tight end who can run block and pass protect as well? So there's definitely a need for that, and I think there's going to be a need for him. So, you know, like, I love him, man. I think Greg's a great guy. It's sad that it had to end there in Carolina, but especially considering his off the field stuff, his foundation's work. I know his son's gone through some medical issues, and he's received great treatment down there in Carolina. So that's the sad part, is if he does continue to play or whatever, you know, wherever he, you know, decides to go and where he plays, is you got to uproot your family. So that's maybe one of the things that he's going to consider and maybe take into account when weighing all options. And so maybe he does end up going to a Fox broadcast booth.
Yeah, or just going to the Redskins, which would not be a far hike from, and I think Ron Rivera would want somebody with his leadership skills in-house. All right, Brady, time to get out of here. But after I let you go, we're going to hear Debo talk to some people on the Bud Light red carpet. Brady.
Very cool.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
It was fun.
Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid off the bye.
Come for Guns N' Roses. Get Bleacher Report's Adam Lefkoe singing a pick six staple. During Super Bowl week, we had the chance to attend two nights of the Bud Light Music Fest red carpet at American Airlines Arena in Miami. While Will was getting situated inside with Bud Light and ready to headbang with Axl Rose, we caught up with Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt to discuss another one of Brinson's favorites, Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers plays at the local My Gym, which is where you take your six-year-olds and your four-year-olds to do trampoline work and to hold on to trapezes and work their upper body strength. I think he's done. Now, what works against it is everybody makes the jokes. You got college payments and health insurance and all those damn kids. But I think once you move to Florida, which, as I understand, is a more of a move about his wife and her family, there's not a lot of moving back. I don't see Tampa because he and Jameis are basically just the same player. I don't see Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick is basically just the same player. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Dolphins will start new. I think he's playing at My Gym.
Now, Rivers' teammate Melvin Gordon provided a different kind of music to Will's ears.
This is everything. You know, great guy, consistent guy, hard worker. You know, he means a lot to us and that organization as well. You know, hopefully he comes back. But if we don't, you know, definitely wish him the best.
It wouldn't feel right to have a football conversation with guys like Lefkoe and Brandt without asking one of the NFL's most important questions. Devontae Parker or Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins is that guy who'll come out and drop like a mixtape every once in a while, and you're like, wow, Sammy Watkins, I thought he was done. And then he'll come have this crazy mixtape, whereas Devontae's like, wow, he looks like a young T.O. Like, he may be actually that good, especially now that Adam Gase is in his coach. So I will give to, I'll go with Parker.
I'm going to go Sammy Watkins because Devontae Parker has been inconsistent. But Sammy, we just get upset that he's getting $16 million a year. And we see what he can do. And I have a feeling that that question is going to look funny after the Super Bowl when Sammy goes over 100 receiving yards.
By the way, Watkins finished with 98 yards on Sunday and now has one more ring than Devontae Parker. Just saying. And there were legitimate pressing topics to discuss too. Like Tom Brady's cryptic social media post. Current Cardinal and former Patriot Chandler Jones thought there was no shot TB12 would hang it up.
No. Just watching his last game, he didn't look like he was on his retiring year at all.
Now Jones thinks Brady could go five more years, and after seeing the GOAT's Hulu commercial on Super Bowl Sunday, he might be right. Meek Mill was one of the performers on Thursday. In 2017, his song Dreams and Nightmares became the Eagles anthem on their way to the Super Bowl. And with diehard Birds fans, Lefkoe and Brandt on the red carpet, I had to ask how Philly gets back to their dreams after a season of nightmares.
They're there. They're already a Super Bowl fucking team. Just gotta be healthy, Carson Wentz will be good, and they gotta get a secondary, and some wide receivers that actually have speed, and they're right there.
I've screamed a million things at the Eagles over the last few years. They usually work. All I have to do is say is like, look, are you really that intimidated the Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy? Do you really think that he's going to be the next Bill Belichick? I like him as much as the next guy. But you got Mike McCarthy, you got a guy named Joe Judge, and then, you know, the Redskins are just the Redskins. So don't worry, Eagles fans, you're going to fly.
Like Trick Daddy and Trina being reunited on stage. Sounds good to me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.